Matthew continues the story of the wise men this way. When King Herod heard them call Jesus the King of the Jews, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Over time, they would have developed a carefully honed routine. Every night would evolve pretty much as the nights before had. The sun would fade, dusk would fall, and the stars would begin to appear in the heavens. And every night, those wise men, those magi, would have scanned the heavens, looking and seeking and searching for signs. Looking and seeking and searching for meaning and truth. Looking and searching and meaning for the things that change lives. Every night would have contained about the same ritual and the same routine, a time of preparation, a time of gathering, a time of welcoming, and then a time of searching and looking and watching. For these magi didn't look for little things. They didn't look for shifts in weather. They didn't look for the mundane. They were only searching for the things of transformation, for the signs in the heavens that would alert them that something momentous was about to happen. A king was about to be born. Love was about to spread forth. Something that could change everything. And then one night, as they were out there doing what they usually did, engaged in the rhythm and routine, in the comfort of what they knew, they saw a star rising. And they watched that star as it ascended into the heavens. And then all of a sudden, all of their rhythms and routines, all of the things they were used to, gave way, for they saw what they were looking for, and they set out. They went on a pilgrimage of sorts, looking for where that star would end. It got them out of their rhythm and routine. It kept them from getting stuck in a rut. Finally, all of their work and preparation, all of their thinking and dreaming and scheming and watching and yearning turned into action. And on the way, they went, searching for a place, the place where the star would stop. Interfaith scholar Laman Sana looks at the three Abrahamic traditions, Judaism, Muslim, Islam, and Christianity. And he says of all of the three traditions, Christianity is the one that has given up the most on this idea of a holy space. Don't get me wrong. There are still plenty of pilgrimages to have. There are still many places that we consider holy. But as Protestant Christians, we have come to this understanding that God can be anywhere, that we can meet God in the midst of this sanctuary, on top of Monument Mountain, or out there in the world. And it's a beautiful thing. But it has its drawbacks. It means that sometimes we don't do what those magi did, which is leave the safety and security of the things we know, leave the rhythms and routines of what we do, and travel, searching for a destination we do not yet know. The magi, they had to stop and ask for directions. They knew a general direction in which they were heading, but they did not know where that road would take them. And so along the way, they stopped and asked. There is a pilgrimage currently underway. It is a pilgrimage that has left Germany for the city of Aleppo. It is a pilgrimage of people walking from Germany to get to Aleppo. When asked why they're doing it, the founder of it, a woman, maintained she just saw too much violence, and she knew that something needed to be happening. And so they set off on this journey. And if you ask the people who are walking on this journey why they're going, what they think will change about it, they will tell you this answer. They have no idea what will change in the world when they get to Aleppo. But they know deep down in their hearts that they will change on the way to Aleppo. That the very idea of seeking out and leaving and searching for a place takes you down roads you do not know and reveals things about yourself you never understood. You see, a pilgrimage can be about getting to a particular destination, about arriving in Mecca or at a great cathedral, in a thin space, a holy space, a place of history and majesty. But all the stories of all the traditions that have pilgrimages will tell you this, that the transformative part is not just when you get to the end, but it is in the act of getting there. Many of the Psalms in our Bible were written as companion pieces for people to sing over and over again on the way to Jerusalem, a way of shaping their hearts and minds. It is the journey that gets you out of your rut. It is the journey that gets you contemplating new things. It is the trip to the destination that changes things. That is not to say that when the Magi arrived at the stable, they didn't discover something amazing. They did. They discovered the Holy of Holy, love wrapped up in flesh. They discovered God's gift to the world, and so overcome were they that they got down on bended knee to offer gifts. But make no mistake about it, it was the journey as much as the destination that filled them with this sense of overwhelming awe. For the last couple of years, there has been a small group gathering together to do something over and over and over again. That small group of six people has gathered and usually started the rhythm and routine of eating a whole bunch of pizza and maybe a little bit of salad. Not a bad way to start something off. But that group has been meeting and eating and praying and thinking and listening. They've been listening for God's calling upon our lives, not just individually, but collectively. They have been searching the heavens and the skies for a star that might lead us forward. That group that has been meeting in rhythm and routine has been the vision working group of this congregation. And on Monday, something is going to go into the mail to each and every one of you. It will be what they have seen in their conversations. It will be what they think God is calling us to do. It will be a general direction for us to head. And it's the beginning of our journey. And they are inviting all of you, each of you, to read this document, to pray in your hearts, to look for signs, and to help shape this document. For what the vision is going to be for this church is what the star was for those magi. This vision document is designed to be a star in the heaven, to send this congregation out of our rhythms and routines, out of the beauty of our worship, the dedication of our service, the gathering of our formation, and to send us out into the world, not that we might just arrive at a destination, but that we might be transformed along the way. When you read this vision, you will notice that there are no clear blueprints in it. There are no clear plans of how to get there. We are going to have to stop along the way and ask for advice and direction as we go. But this vision is going to force us to get out of our regular rhythms and routines, as beautiful and life-giving and wonderful as they are, and get up and walk together. That on the way, we might discover new truths, that together on this pilgrimage, we might be transformed long before we get to any destination that's included in this vision. The vision is designed to last until 2024, 7 years from now. That is a long time for us to walk and talk and journey. Nowhere does it say how long the Magi traveled, but we know it was a great distance. And we know that at the end of it, the Magi found something in their travels and in their destination that changed their whole way of looking at things. And open to the Spirit, they came back home by a different road. They made it home, back to the rhythms and routines, back to what they did, back to searching for truth and mystery and beauty. Every night, the same thing. As the sun went down and the light faded and the stars went up, they returned to what they knew. But the result of that journey, I have no doubt, changed how they looked at those heavens forever. Friends, pilgrimages are not just about our destination. They're about the holy process of getting there together, stopping and asking questions, and being open to coming back home by a different road. On this Epiphany Sunday, as we remember the great story of the Magi, let us commit ourselves to likewise being a people of pilgrimage, a people open to signs and mystery and wonder, willing to leave the places that we know for the beauty that we do not yet know. On this Epiphany Sunday, that is my prayer for you, for me, for this church, and for this place we call.